Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Faces of TBI podcast series, the number one podcast for brain injury and concussion resources. I am Amy Zellmer, founder of FacesOfTBI.com and your host. Today, I'm going to be chatting about lymphatic therapy for traumatic brain injury with Francois Gagnon. Hello, I am Amy Zellmer, and you're listening to Faces of TBI, a podcast series for survivors by survivors, raising awareness about traumatic brain injury, one podcast at a time. Those of you who might not know who I am a TBI survivor from a fall on the ice in February of 2014. I am a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Thrive Global, and the Goodman Project, and I am author of Life with a Traumatic Brain Injury, Finding the Road Back to Normal, available on Amazon. You can learn more about me and the podcast at facesoftbi.com, and you can follow me on Instagram at Amy Zellmer. And I also invite you to join my private Facebook group, Amy's TBI Tribe, to connect with other survivors, caregivers, and loved ones. Today, my guest is Francois Gagnon, and he is Chief Medical Exercise Specialist, a Certified Lymphatic Therapist, Certified Cancer Exercise Specialist, and has always dreamed big and empowered people to discover the potential of their health within their body and mind. He has over 20 years work experience with health and wellness, specializing in chronic health conditions, including headache, migraine, and concussion and PCS. During these years, he has used many evidence-based and evidence-informed protocols to help his clients improve their overall functions for activities of daily living while reducing the intensity and duration of flare-ups. He's done this by integrating manual therapies, medical exercise coaching, and health lifestyle coaching, as well as supportive nutrition coaching. He brings this blend of integrated coaching and therapies together by staying up to date on what is happening in research, informed evidence, and clinic best practices. Welcome to the podcast, Francois. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you very much, Amy. I'm grateful for you taking the time and having me on your show as well. It's awesome because I think from working in the field, the more that we know about what's available, it definitely helps out in terms of what people mm-hmm. could be searching for.
Absolutely. And that's why I continue to do this podcast. I'm in like my ninth season of this podcast. So it's kind of crazy to think about. Yeah. And I forgot to mention, Francois, that you are located in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Yep.
I know we have a lot of Canadian listeners, so I think they'll be thrilled to have a fellow Canadian on here today.
That's awesome. It's great that you're global as well, so it's really important because I think we mm-hmm. definitely learn from different places, for sure, like globally and from different cultures as well.
Yeah. And, you know, it is a worldwide problem, TBI survivors not being able to find adequate help. And it's not just a U.S. thing. So, it makes me so happy. I have listeners from all over. I mean, Australia, New Zealand, Europe, even like Russia. So, you know,
awesome.
It's super cool to know that we're having such a reach through a podcast.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. I would love for you to share with us how you came to work with TBI patients. Like, what was your path that led you here?
There's a couple different ways I could approach this one. I think part of, let's say, my overall experience in health and wellness, there's been different evolutions. I've done the health club industry for a while. I've seen personal training clients with different health conditions, you know, low back to, hey, you know, I hit my head playing sports. It actually, like I said, I could go from different perspectives. And in hindsight, looking back at things, I was actually in a car accident as well when I was in grade 12 from a ski trip. And from the hearsay that I found out when I was going through my own rehab, it was, well, I had a closed head injury as well. So in a way, like anytime you get a bump into your head, there's a potential for a form of a brain injury. So I'm going, okay, I had a closed head injury. And before, I was pretty good in school. And then after that, I had to do a lot more work in school. And then at the time, there was nothing really, hey, let's go through your rehab. Let's get your broken leg ready. Let's get a little bit of the scars in your face kind of helped out in early age cosmetic surgery. Just kidding. But a lot of the, even that protocol has evolved now because now there's more things about pacing, like after a head injury, and kind of evolving, like not going back into from where you left off kind of deal. So, and then through my years of experience in both public health industry and private, I've seen individuals with headaches, migraines, and post-concussion. And I've even had a doctor that I knew from a conference refer somebody to me who had the post-concussion because she was a snowboarder. And, you know, when I asked her, it's like, well, how many times do you know that you fell and kind of hit your head? She goes, 3 for sure, but I'm sure I fell more than that many times. I said, probably. And then that's kind of going, well, okay, this is kind of neat. And then I already knew about some of the exercise component to really help out in terms of, you know, cardiovascular, to help out with the brain and everything else to kind of feel better overall, improve function. And there was definitely in my work experience in the public healthcare sector, there's a lot of cognitive behavior therapy approaches as well that's kind of been useful to help out with the pacing strategies or just communication to either individually to ourselves or with family members about what's going on. And then how I evolved a little bit more as a certified lymphatic therapist, a lot of people associate the lymphatic therapy to cancer, which, yes, but there's a lot more to what you could do with lymphatic therapy. And ever since going to a conference in Rome, that kind of opened up my awareness a lot more to, oh, what are you guys doing over here in Europe? What are you guys doing over there in like Brazil? And like even in the States. And actually, I went to a conference in the States way pre-pandemic. But they're looking at lymphatic therapy with ocular health, with cardiovascular, with digestive. And I go, wow, this is kind of fascinating. And then there's definitely one of your previous episodes with Dr. Ilana, if I'm saying that right. She brought up the lymphatic therapy as well. So like Dr. Bruno Ciccoli. And then there's also Dr. Michael Foldy, who from the Foldy Clinic in Germany, who started to look at things like the lymphatic system in terms of the brain. And that's why we now have the Gi lymphatics. That's kind of more newer research about the lymphatic system in around the head area.
And so, I'm sorry. Go on.
No, and with all this, I've had a private client who said, "Hey, I fell at home." She said, "I'm pretty sure I have a concussion." I said, "Okay, what's going to be your approach?" I said, "She said I'm going to go to my doctor," and I said, "Well, is it okay if we start with a lymphatic therapy just to see how you do?" And here in Canada, there's a sport concussion assessment. It's called the SCAT scorecard. It's more for on-field concussion. So I use the kind of the B part of it where it's just more the symptomology. And when she filled that out, she was really high in scoring sixes in everything. But then we just did one lymphatic session a week And I think over 8 weeks, our numbers dropped down to about like a 1 out of 6.
Wow.
All we used was lymphatic therapy. We used the pacing because she was self-employed. So I said, hey, don't go back to your computer time. Let's do a gradual approach to go back to your computer time. Let's just pace throughout your everyday activities and make sure you have some really good supportive nutrition. Like, make sure you hydrate, have consistent meals. And, yeah, like, her scores came way down. So that's kind of really cool to see.
Mm. So, Francois, why don't you give us just, like, a general overview of, like, what the lymphatic system does? Because I think the average person has heard of it. They know what lymph
yeah.
nodes are. I think most people know, you know, like, immune support.
Yeah.
But give us, like, a good general overview.
Sure. So the lymphatic system is kind of parallel to the circulatory system in the human body. So it is system-wide. So it's throughout the whole body, especially now. So when now with the newer research about the lymphatics, about with the lymphatics in the head as well. So the lymphatic system is basically what it does. It's like you said, it helps with immune support. It does some work with digestion and transport. And then the big one is actually, if you want to think about it, like the waste management system of the human body. So that's kind of the mm-hmm. big one for sure. And then how I look at how lymphatic therapy or manual lymphatic drainage technique fits into like TBI rehab, it's kind of definitely it is a massage technique, but it's a very unique one because the lymphatic system has watersheds as well. So you could kind of direct it or flow it in certain ways. So it has, like, different collectors, I'll say, for lack mm-hmm. of a better description, in the body. So it's really important to work with a certified lymphatic therapist who's gone to, like, a recognized school for complete decongestive therapy. The lymphatic therapy actually stimulates the lymphatic system, which is, like you said, that role in immune function and, like I just mentioned, waste removal. And if we enhance that flow, the lymphatic therapy can help reduce the swelling, actually improve circulation, and support the body's natural healing process.
Mm.
Does that kind of help out?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, okay, so when someone has a TBI or any form of brain injury,
yeah.
obviously the sooner we can get in for any sort of therapy is always better.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, with lymphatic techniques, obviously sooner is better. But, like, at any point, like, is this still helpful even, say, someone that's 5 years post-TBI, I guess is what I'm trying to ask?
I would probably say yes, because when there's an injury that happens, there might be a compromise. So, for example, like kind of we mentioned or we talked about, lymphatic therapy is really associated to the cancer. Like a lot more people think about lymphatic therapy, lymphedema associated to cancer, like the leg swelling or their arm swelling or something like that. So there's compromise in the tissue. So, but if we could kind of get in there to kind of at least work around the tissue, then we could kind of help to improve circulation. Because this is definitely going to be a big one for sure. Because that swelling or that inflammation, sometimes that inflammation could lead into a chronic inflammation. We kind of want to help those symptoms to kind of reduce and to promote a more comfortable recovery process. And the recovery process in the human body, physiology-wise, is, hey, can we get more circulation into the area? Or can we... in the body, if like let's say the cellular debris or like I'll say like I know when I drive here in Calgary on one of the main highways, if there's an accident, it gets backed up all over the place. So I think people can kind of relate that visual. So if there's an injury and if there's a kind of blockages or congestion, then sometimes the blood flow doesn't get there, so therefore we don't get the nutrients. So we just need to kind of help the blood flow to also clean up that mess, and that's where the lymphatics will come in.
I mean, you know, when you think TBI, I think the thing that traditional doctors often miss is it's inflammation. And it's inflammation throughout your entire body. Like when you hit your head, it is causing an inflammation response in your body. And that inflammation response can get stuck on, so to speak, for years, months, years. And if it's not addressed, you're going to continue having this inflammation. And I see such a benefit from having a lymphatic treatment because it's a natural way to try to help reduce inflammation, right? Versus taking a ton of ibuprofen, which is terrible for your gut and everything. But I feel like that's where doctors are missing. They're just missing that part. And I think there's a lot of things we can do for inflammation, right? Doctors could just, like, grasp this and send people to someone like you or, you know, that can help them relieve the inflammation. Because when you relieve inflammation, you relieve symptoms. So I just wish there was more of a camaraderie between traditional medicine and alternative medicine.
Yeah, no, there's, like, I remember, like, another part of my journey with this. I've been involved, I've been going as a healthcare professional to a lot of the continuing education from the Brain Injury Foundation of Canada, and there's the Cancer Brain Injury Foundation of Canada as well. So a lot of that stuff is kind of overlaps to some degree. And there's, you know, yeah, like even with the cancer in the head area, we need like that rehab stuff as well, for sure. Like, don't get me wrong, I see the role of the medications, but in the world of what you kind of mentioned a little bit as well, is where can we find that integration and that collaboration there's a lot of different pieces of
the
puzzle. Thanks.
Sorry.
So it's like medication is one part of that puzzle that we're trying to complete. But hey, that sleep is really important too. That mindfulness of like the cognitive behavior therapy sessions is really important as well. But we need that rehab or we need that community support as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do we kind of integrate all that together and just kind of blend all that together. And definitely, you know, with a little bit of the lymphatic therapy, it is kind of, it's been around. I did some research into the history of lymphatic therapy. I go, wow, it almost traces back as far as Aristotle to some form. So because I was going to present something about to the local school of medicine, they had a history conference and I'm going, I want to submit that, but then COVID kind of hit, so that put on hold. But it is kind of like, it was interesting in just doing that research because there's been some pockets of time in the history of, hey, somebody said, hey, what is that? And then we kind of looked at the lymphatic system and then it kind of dropped off and then came back. And, you know, there's been a lot of advancements now for sure, which is really good because not only can the lymphatic therapy help out with the potential inflammation or chronic inflammation, it could help that waste removal because the clearing the waste from the mind can really help out in terms of removing the toxins and promoting better brain health as well. Mm-hmm. And that could even help out with cognitive function overall because we're getting improved circulation and oxygenation. And then just emotional well-being because sometimes there could be that anxiety or depression. And then with the lymphatic therapy, it actually stimulates the nervous system in terms of that rest and relax component as well versus the fight and flight.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think so many of us get stuck in fight or flight and it's almost impossible for us to turn it off without someone helping us, right? And like we don't even realize we're stuck in fight or flight. We just know that we startle easy or that we're just always on edge, always anxious. we don't have any idea, you know, that that's connected to our nervous system. And when you're in fight or flight, your body can't heal. And,
yeah.
you know, same with inflammation. When you're in an inflamed state, you're not healing. I do have a question. So, you know, talking
sure.
about waste removal, and I just want to clarify that. Do you mean, like, removing toxins from your body? Is that what you're referring to with waste removal?
So one of the roles of the lymphatic system is actually the body's, I think you kind of mentioned a little bit, is the natural way of the body to detox itself, if I can say that, instead of waste removal. So it kind of,
okay.
the lymphatic system acts as a, it's a kind of, in our cities, we have the garbage, the waste management system that, you know, drives around every, whatever select day of the week to my local neighborhood, takes out the garbage and all that. And so it's basically the lymphatic system kind of does something like that in terms of cellular debris.
Like the microglia cells. I only know that because I've studied this a lot.
Yeah. So, yeah, so sometimes, like, if there's
an
injury.
They clean up the system.
Yeah, so, for example, like, when we talk about that inflammation, right, so the body has a natural response to inflammation, but then does something go a little bit tweaky? There's a monkey wrench in the inflammation process, and now it's lasting a little bit longer. So what's happening with those cells? Like, are the different cells invited to the party that shouldn't be there? So it's kind of like trying to manage that inflammation to make it, hey, it's only supposed to last X number of days. How come it's lasting 45 days?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just throwing those numbers out there. I'm just, but in terms of...
Right, right.
So, yeah, some of my work in working with people who have chronic pain issues, oh, wow, now their body's like, has a, it might be a, kind of my analogy is kind of, hey, we have something on the back burner that's kind of going on, but hey, that's inflammation that's on the back burner that's still going on, and ooh, once in a while it'll flare up and it'll kind of trigger something else off. So we just want to manage the inflammation as best as we can. And yeah, like I definitely use that manual therapy of lymphatic therapy, but in terms of other things people could do is how's your nutrition, right? Because sometimes if we have more pro-inflammatory foods, then that could spike up the inflammation. And then in terms of even just cardiovascular health, if we could kind of have the systems be a little bit healthier, we could get more of that blood flow going through most of the body to help out with the increased circulation and nutrients as well.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to just traditional doctors and, you know, I'm generalizing because there are some traditional doctors that are absolutely fantastic.
Oh, for sure.
If you find one, please let me know. And they seem to have this, like I've been told this, I know hundreds of people have the same story as me, but oh, just give it a couple months and you'll be fine. And a couple months go by and nothing's better. Some things are even worse, right? Because symptoms can get worse. And
yeah.
I think, you know, and we've been taught to trust our doctors. Our doctors know best. But that's not always true. Not all doctors are educated on brain injury and concussion. And, you know, if a doctor's been telling you that and you're not getting better, and then at 1 year I was told by my neurologist, well, I guess this is just the best you're going to get. And to me, that was unacceptable. I was like, we've done absolutely nothing to try and improve this. So how are you telling me now, well, this is the best you're going to get? Thank God that was not true, right? Like, I finally found a provider to help me, and I was able to get better. But, you know, that's like the uphill battle that we are all fighting, these doctors that are just telling us things. Sorry, my AirPod was dying.
Yeah.
So they're telling us these things, and they're not necessarily true, but it's a doctor telling it to us, so, you know, they must know what they're talking about. which is part of why I'm so passionate about my advocacy work, and then finding people like you who understand. And so, you know, what's your message for folks listening who have been told these things by doctors? And obviously you and I know that not to be the truth, or the full truth, at least. For some people, they might not ever get better. But yeah. I think for most people, we can at least make some improvement.
Yeah. That's a great question. Like, I know for me, like, I understand the role of where medicine is at, but I think one of my coaches in the past was looking at with the CAM. So the CAM is the complementary medicine approach. So, for example, like you kind of mentioned a little bit in terms of the alternative. So the complementary is not really saying one is better than the other, but it's more of how can they work together.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like, can we find other providers? So, for example, taken to my osteopath perspective for headaches and migraines, and totally different approach that some of my colleagues who are physiotherapists might have taken. And I go, okay, this is kind of interesting. And then, oh, hey, you know, I've also done some work in acupressure, totally different from acupuncture. Acupressure is no needle base. But I'm going, this is fascinating because it follows some of the same principles as traditional Chinese medicine, like the acupressure points are the same as the acupuncture points. But now how do you blend that in together with the headache stuff or the migraine stuff? So it's really interesting to say that. So in terms of what your question is about for, it might be, yeah, for example, my client who did the fall at home, when I said, hey, what did the doctor say in our second or third session? I said, what did the doctor say? And she said, the doctor said, just get some rest. And I'm going, oh, okay. Or, you know, stay away from light. I'm going, well, okay, for how long? So there's other questions, right? So if possible, hopefully you could ask other questions to the doctor and, you know, kind of say, okay, yeah, this is great. You know, maybe I'm getting some medication. So what about this? Or what about that? Then hopefully, I know my presentation when I was at a conference in Rome, it was interesting. It was actually for lymphology, and my presentation was all about the role of social media in healthcare, and especially for healthcare professionals. And it's, you know, I said, so my clients will search for stuff online, but it's how do I approach it? So I'm pretty sure people will, you know, find you, which is great because you're kind of sharing different approaches and options for TBI. But now for the healthcare professionals, how do you approach it? It's like, oh, hey, this is kind of cool. Let's discuss this. Or, you know, some people may not promote that or take that view too kindly either. So I'm hoping that people are aware that for TBI, and especially, let's say, in the rehab world, it's not just addressing kind of the symptoms like with medication, because a lot of it is how do we support the entire person, mind, body, and spirit. And I really think that's where a blended or integrated approach through the various therapies can really help out to optimize towards a really positive recovery outcome.
And, you know, that is what we're all looking for, right? Positive outcome recovery. I like that word,
yeah,
or phrase. Thank you.
Yeah.
go ahead.
Nope, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say we're just about out of time.
Okay.
I want to make sure we mention your website and how people can find you.
Sure.
So wherever you are listening, we do have the link in the show notes so you can click through there. But it is theotherpainclinic.com is your website. So tell us a little bit, and again, you're in Calgary, so tell us,
yes,
a little bit about how people can find you and work with you.
Definitely, as you mentioned, website is probably going to be the easiest way to go, thepainclinic.com. I do have a contact page on there as well. You can just send me a note and just say, hey, I kind of heard you chat with Amy about TBI. I'm kind of interested. And then we could explore stuff. I've done some work with some clients virtually as well, because sometimes it could just be part of that pacing. And just to get that going, because sometimes it's like with the pacing, it's like, whoa, I have a little bit more energy in my day now. Right. So even if we start there, and then definitely, like I know in Alberta, we have a list through our Alberta Lymphedema Association about certified lymphatic therapists. So that's really important to find that. Like I know one of my good friends, she's a massage therapist, and she's taken the lymphatic therapy, but not to the level in terms of that complete decongestive therapy where we could kind of do connections. So I think that's kind of really important to know about that distinction. Or even if you need some help of finding a certified lymphatic therapist in your neighborhood, feel free to contact me.
Awesome. Well, Francois, thank you so much for being here today. This has been great information. I really appreciate you and all that you're doing in our TBI community. So thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation and the opportunity to share kind of my passion about the lymphatic therapy for TBI. And I really think about what you do in terms of with your podcast. It's really inspiring, enlightening, and it kind of really gives a good overview of what's possible for recovery and that is also achievable.
Yes. Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Francois. And thank you, everyone, for listening. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. And just a reminder, you can find previous episodes on most streaming platforms, such as iTunes or Spotify. We have over 250 episodes, so there's definitely something for everyone. And you can also find them directly at facesoftbi.com. And also just a reminder, you can follow me on Instagram at Amy Zalmer. And also another reminder to join Amy's TBI tribe on Facebook. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for being a part of my journey. And I will see you all in the next episode. Have a good day, everyone.